What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And for those of you watching on Bamuser TV, this gorgeous creature sitting behind me is the lovely Lady Claire, who is joining us here on our last show of 2016.
Yeah.
This is our New Year happy show. So what's the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, unfortunately, sweetheart, it's not happy. I am talking about what is going on right now in Yemen, and you touched on it very briefly earlier in the show. But this is something that corporate Western media is not talking about a whole lot. And when I was a kid coming up, and I'm 67, so those of you who are my contemporaries will remember that in all of the studies of history, the United States was definitely the good guy. They weren't the bad guy. And well, guess what? In this part of the 20th century, my government is complicit in the creation of war crimes. I am really unhappy about that, Michael. And what has happened has been that they have sold Saudi Arabia, which is in Yemen fighting the Houthi rebels. And the Saudis are killing women, children. They're bombing hospitals. They're bombing schools. They're bombing open-air marketplaces with American-purchased weaponry. That makes us complicit.
Yes, it does.
That does not make me at all happy. And although President Obama, because of a lot of uproar about the weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, has pulled back a little bit, hasn't pulled back all that much. And who was it? I think it was Boris Johnson in the UK, foreign minister, said, you know, they haven't gotten to the level of war crimes yet. Well, I'd like to ask Boris to just go in, get him dropped into the center of Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, and just see how it really is war crimes that the Saudis are doing.
And of course, it has to be remembered that Yemen is another example of the U.S. failed foreign policy, because what's really going on is Yemen's government was overthrown. A U.S. puppet ruler, internationally approved, was put on in. And the people of Yemen decided they didn't want to live under foreign puppet rule. And so they tried to take their country back. And that's what's going on. Yeah. And the U.S. government, understanding the American people, are very tired of wars, especially wars that are as immoral and illegitimate as these are, decided they were going to use the Saudis as their proxies in Yemen, much the same way they're using ISIS and Al-Qaeda as their proxies in Syria.
Right, right. And I have looked at some of the pictures of devastation, not only with these children who have been killed by these Saudi airstrikes, but kids who are dying of malnutrition in the 21st century. You know, President Obama is himself a father. And I don't, you know, I'm having a palm to forehead moment that he thinks that these all these kids are is just collateral damage. That really bothers me. That as a parent, it doesn't bug him, because the food in Yemen has to be pretty much shipped in, and it can't get to the interior because of the Saudi blockade of all the Yemen ports.
And collective punishment of a civilian population is a war crime.
It's I would like to hope that President-elect Trump is going to rethink this and figure out a way to get both sides to the negotiating table, because ultimately that has got to be a political situation rather than a war of attrition to stop this.
Well, Trump has already identified what the problem really is, and he's already gone into office declaring that there will be no more covert or overt foreign interventions by the U.S. into other people's countries. And so the situation in Yemen, there really aren't two sides to sit down. There's the people of Yemen and the imposed puppet rulers. And what Trump is going to do is pull the funding and military support for the puppet rulers and let them get kicked out.
Yeah. I would like to hope so. I'd like to also bop over to China. And this is a revolution slash protest movement we don't hear again very much about in the West. Apparently, there's a new Communist Party boss for Xinjiang, who faces challenges in easing unrest. That's a euphemism.
To put it politely.
Yeah, the latest eruption of violence in Xinjiang, which authorities say claimed five lives comes a couple of months after Chen Guangguo stepped into the role as Communist Party chief for the region. Now, he's known as a hardliner, and previously his job was pacifying Tibet. And there is no indication that the attack is linked with the new administration, but it could get dicey over there. Katakoks, and this is in western China, the population is about 97% made up of Uyghurs, a mostly Muslim ethnic minority group, who, like some Tibetans, chafe at Beijing's rule and the increasing number of Han's Chinese moving into their homelands. Shortly after Chen's arrival, the government started to beef up its police presence and building more than 900 additional police booths in the region's capitals, Urumqi. Local residents have also been required to turn over their passports to police.
Okay.
And now I am saddened by the deaths and woundings of these innocents here. But that having been said, I would suggest to the Chinese that a more massive suppression is going to wind up more likely creating even more unrest.
Yeah, generally, that's the way it does operate. The more you oppress a people, the more they're going to fight back. Whether it's China, Rome, Libya, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, or the United States of America.
Right.
We need to take a second here to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. The lovely Lady Claire is with us for this third and final hour for our last show of 2016. So turning on back to Claire, what's your next story?
Well, I'd like to go back and revisit this. There was an article posted at HuffPo in 2014, and up until then, Xinjiang's population was mostly Uyghur. But in recent years, Chinese Han have been moving there in large numbers, drawn by Beijing's massive investment in the area. And both groups now make up about 40% of the region's population. In Urumqi, the state capital, Chinese now make up 75% of the residents. Uyghurs are complaining that while Beijing has invested heavily in Xinjiang, the investment kind of only benefits the Han Chinese. They feel discriminated against when it comes to housing, employment, and they don't have a lot of access to the area's profitable gas and oil industries and can't apply for many of the jobs that the government has. This struggle heated up in 2009 when clashes between Uyghurs and Chinese Han claimed about a dozen lives. And Chinese dramatically escalated the crackdown. The separatist actions became increasingly brutal. And I'm very concerned if these issues are not intelligently and sensitively addressed by Beijing, we may well be looking at a powder keg which will continue to explode episodically, and we may be looking at elements of jihad in the Muslim community there.
Or we may be seeing yet another U.S. covert attempt to stir up turmoil and chaos.
Yes, they would,
Because China is right below Russia on the U.S. government's special high interest targets list.
On their to-do list, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's entirely possible, but I feel badly for these people because apparently they're not really getting well treated by the Chinese government, and there is some talk that there's a lot of discrimination going on there. China has to change that in order to get a better outcome, I think.
Well, it's like, did Emperor Qin live in vain? Because that was his accomplishment, was getting all these different groups together and saying, you're now one people.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of China.
Right, right. I'd like to go over an article that appeared in Blacklisted News. A veteran died with maggots in his wounds at a VA staff hospital. And a 73-year-old veteran, Oren Reese, died after being treated at a veterans hospital in rural Oklahoma. The Tallahassee, Oklahoma Department of Veterans Affairs confirmed that Peterson had live maggots in his wounds prior to his death in October. The director of the department, Miles Deering, confirmed this but stated that Peterson's death was not related to the maggots, and he insisted instead he died of sepsis.
Two kind of go together.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and even sepsis basically says it's not a clean environment.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure the VA is out there saying, it's no big deal. And hey, look at that great new statue we have out on the front lawn there. It only cost us $20 million.
And Parker, who was Peterson's son, told Tulsa World, during the 21 days I was there, I pled with the medical staff, the senior medical staff, to increase his meds so his bandages could be changed. And, you know, they weren't even listening to him.
And, well, apparently the VA's actual agenda here is once you are no longer able to point a gun at the designated target and pull the trigger, they don't want to spend any money on you, and they want to balance the books on all these wars by simply allowing the wounded veterans to die off. And this institutional neglect, the fudging of records to make it look like these veterans are being seen when they are not, just abandoning them and just hoping they'll die and go away, that's a sin. That's a sin right there. And
the reason
I say that, whether you agree with the wars or not, we have a duty to take care of those kids who put on those uniforms and took the vows and did what they were told. And if you have a problem with the war, that's the civilian leadership who sent these kids out to do things that no normal human being would ever want to do.
And you know what I'd like to see of the outcome of this? I want to see the people who allegedly treated him indicted and convicted. I want that VA hospital closed down and all the other people who were there being transferred into at least somewhat better facilities. And I want our vets to get the same care that Dick Cheney does. They have earned it, Mike. They have earned it.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. And, of course, you know, Dick Cheney got himself a nice little heart transplant, which was a big surprise. Who knew he had a heart?
That was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to talk about cybersecurity and the Obama administration in its waning days. It is looking to expand the definition of critical infrastructure to allegedly hit back at the Russians, who, again, are being blamed for something they didn't do, as in messing up the elections. And one of the most ridiculous parts of what they're trying to do in discussions about cybersecurity is what should be considered critical infrastructure. And that's because, thanks to various executive orders, what the president declares critical infrastructure leads to different cybersecurity requirements. There have been concerns that this will result in a broadly classifying the internet as critical infrastructure on its own, which will lead to easier surveillance. But, as has been noted like a decade ago, broadly classifying the internet as critical infrastructure would be silly, when the use of that designation should be narrowly focused on things like voting and banking, not to mention things like energy grids and water supplies. And my first reaction to this is, we know computers can be hacked.
Yes. They're hacking my server right now.
Yes, as we live and breathe. We need to think about going back to plain, simple paper ballots. And as to the claims that Russia allegedly hacked the 2016 elections, Mike, that's just one big, fat, hairy bunch of codswallop. And as to the FBI and DHS reports on the alleged Russian hacking of the elections, they started the report with a giant disclaimer, providing no warranties of any kind. And I think that Putin is just biding his time until Trump is inaugurated. And at that point, I would almost be willing to bet the relations between Russia and the U.S. are going to warm dramatically. I think that's going to be the case.
Oh, and that's why they're pushing so hard to have this war start before January 20th.
Right.
Let's see. We're going to go ahead and take a quick phone call here from Alex in San Antonio. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I was calling because I really just have a question. It's pretty direct. What is, you know, how Trump has been a victim of the mainstream media, and the corporate media and you know how the independent media has helped him. Why is it that he's having trouble understanding how bad Israel is to the world, and how come he hasn't put together how come all those generals that he has haven't put together, you know, a presentation for him that says, hey, you know what, Israel actually tried to, you know, sink the USS Liberty, and this is actually what happened, and this is everything that's been started, the Levant affair, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And why doesn't he have a briefing from these military people that he has that explain to him what happened?
Let me step in here. Basically, okay. Under the rules of an incoming president, he is supposed to partake in the daily intelligence briefings that the president gets to bring him up to speed. Now, Donald Trump is not going to be in the Oval Office until January 20th, at which point he could then say, I need a briefing on what's been going on with Israel. Now, as I mentioned before, to that other caller, one of my concerns about Donald Trump is too much of his worldview has been shaped by what he sees on corporate media. And even though he now understands the corporate media is less than honest and forthright, it's going to take a little while for him to work on back and start saying, mm-hmm. Well, if they lied to the world about Donald Trump, what else did they lie to? And I think once Donald Trump is actually in office and directly dealing with Netanyahu and Israel, he's going to realize that his image of Israel is not anywhere near close to the reality. And I would be willing to wager a rusty nickel that at the end of year one of the Trump administration, he's going to be decidedly cool on Israel. Obviously, it's the one area where I disagree with him. But again, he's not in office yet. We have to give him time to come up to speed.
And there's another factor that we need to consider. He may have very privately gotten a small intelligence ad hoc committee to take a look at the entire issue of the Middle East. But this is not something that he or any of his people would blab about. So he may be getting some information we don't know. All we can say is we don't know right now. But I would also bet good money that upon getting into office, he is going to be looking for an entire presentation, which not only includes Israel, but the broader issues in the Middle East and what the U.S. can do and what they shouldn't try to do to bring a little bit more peace to the area. I think he will definitely do that.
Now, one thing you need to remember is presidents have a long history of having, first of all, their official advisors and cabinet members, but also having access to unofficial advisors whose opinions they trust. In fact, the nickname mm-hmm. for it is the kitchen cabinet, as in we're going to go down to the kitchen, have a sandwich and a glass of iced tea, and while we're there, I'd like to ask your opinion about XYZ, avail themselves of people who are knowledgeable but don't have the political connections to officially be part of the administration. And a lot of presidents
like
have done...
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
You mean like the unofficial, like how they called it, the red phone, like those back lines that are...
I'm talking about people in the United States who have been studying the political realities, you know, for decades, and they don't have the political connections to actually officially be part of the administration. But Trump is probably going to have a bunch of those people that he's going to pick up a phone and say, this is what my people are telling me. What is your response? What is your feedback? It's kind of a check on what's going on. And I think Trump is probably going to be more into the kitchen cabinet than many other presidents we've seen recently.
Yeah.
One last question, Mike. Do you think that perhaps the reason he's kind of playing dumb and going along with this, oh, yeah, Israel, yeah, we got to go be behind him, is because he's actually trying to stave off an assassination before he even gets into office? Could that be a plausible
thing? That could be one reason. He does owe a huge debt to Sheldon Adelson for his backing. Trump may be simply trying to avoid being assassinated before he's even sworn into office. So anyway, we've got to let you go.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Be well.
Happy New Year. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And Lady Claire, you've got a story you want to share with us.
Actually, a couple, and I believe that they're in some ways linked. It has to do with illegal immigration. And I will use that word illegal, so deal with it. Apparently, a Homeland Border employee and many of his colleagues took millions in bribes to allow massive secret influx of illegal drugs and immigrants. In 2012, Jehoon David Lee, a federal Homeland Security agent in Los Angeles, was assigned to investigate the case of a Korean businessman accused of sex trafficking. Instead of carrying out a thorough inquiry, Lee solicited and received about 13,000 in bribes and other gifts from the businessman and his relatives in return for making the immigration issue go away. Now, Lee was an agent with Homeland Security Investigations at Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and he filed a report saying subject was suspected of human trafficking, no evidence found, and victim statement contradicts, case closed, no further action needed. But apparently there was someone who had the horse sense. It was another agent, and they investigated Lee's interference. In another case, his record was examined, and he was charged with bribery. He pleaded guilty in July and was sentenced to 10 months in prison. And apparently this is common practice with people who have some money to be able to make immigration issues disappear by bribing, you know, our federal agents.
Well, that's we mentioned that story the other day, and mm-hmm. and yeah, I mean, these people are supposed to be protecting the nation. They're just, you know, fattening their pockets. And what happens when a terrorist comes on in?
Yeah.
And says, I will give you $5,000 to not look inside this very large glow-in-the-dark suitcase.
That ticks. Right. And another interesting factor is when we deport people, somehow they don't stay deported. And apparently, a Mexican man charged with rape had 19 deportations and removals. Now, this guy raped a 13-year-old kid on a Greyhound bus that traveled through Kansas and had been deported 10 times and voluntarily removed from the U.S. the other nine since 2013. And I don't know how this is allowed to keep happening, but it does. And this is horrific. And I hope that when the Trump administration gets in, that they are going to do something about it. And you know the only thing Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson could say? An extremely disturbing case. Yeah. How did this man get back in for all of the problems he had caused? Why is this? And it would seem to me that there is a very logical way if we had secure borders, which we don't. You know, it's insane and never should have happened in the first place. I would like to hope that the family of this child will sue the Department of Homeland Security for not providing security for their daughter, and that it makes an example out of them. You know?
Yes.
Also, Central Americans are again surging across the borders. Inside, U.S. policies have failed, and we've got a whole new surge of migrants who have rushed to the U.S. border this fall as deportations of those here illegally have dropped to the lowest level in nearly a decade. The spike in Central American families flooding the U.S. border has fueled fears of a new immigration crisis like one that dominated the headlines in 2014 as tens of thousands of mothers and children from Central America raced into the Rio Grande Valley of Texas fleeing violence and poverty. It also raises questions about whether the U.S. is prepared for a new surge and about the effectiveness of the Obama administration's strategy to curb the flow through a combination of immigration enforcement and humanitarian assistance to the nations from which the migrants come. I would say no and no on both of those issues. We're at the tipping point. I mean, the services that are being provided for these people are just draining the money from the government, which is already, what is it, $20 trillion in debt that we know of?
Well, yeah, and the unfunded liabilities take it up into the hundreds. And it's not just the United States, it's Europe. And it's just going to make the economic crash that much worse. All right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If you have sciatica, then you know all about the crippling pain that travels from your lower back down your leg when a spasm occurs. It's brutal. In fact, it's enough to take your breath away. Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream helps relieve persistent, shooting pains associated with the sciatic nerve in the lower back and legs. This natural, homeopathic cream contains the most potent ingredients to soothe even the most excruciating pain associated with sciatica. Stop the pain now. Ask for Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream at your local health food store or go online to TraskNutrition.com.
Would you like relief from muscle pain, headaches, and discomfort to sleep better, have more energy during the day, and just feel naturally amazing? Fibromalic can help. Its blend of malic acid and magnesium can provide pain relief and comfort for those who experience fibromyalgia. It helps your body absorb more oxygen, and it works quickly for a significant reduction in pain within 48 hours, all without a prescription. Ask for Fibromalic at health and vitamin shops or shop fibromalic.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, welcome back to the show, and Lady Claire, take it away.
Okay. An interesting interview with Anthony Bourdain. Most of you know who he is. He's got a show on CNN called Parts Unknown, and he said something in an interview for Reason.com that was really kind of wonderfully comforting and amazing to me. He slammed privileged liberals for their utter contempt of working class Americans. And he talked about this in one portion of his interview, and I think what he had to say is very valuable and something that maybe the liberals need to take note of and take heed of. And he said, "I've spent a lot of time in gun country, God-fearing America. There are a hell of a lot of nice people out there who are doing what everyone else in this world is trying to do, the best they can, to get by and take care of themselves and the people they love. When we deny them their basic humanity and legitimacy of their views, however different they may be from ours, when we mock them at every turn and treat them with contempt, we do no one any good. Nothing nauseates me more than preaching to the converted." And Mr. Anthony Bourdain, well said. Well said.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it may be because so many of the liberal establishment are celebrities with the attendant ego problems that many of them, not all, but many of them have. But I remember when I was a kid when it was the Republicans who were viewed as the elitists and the warmongers. But I think the problem with liberalism is that when it began, when liberalism began to take off 30 years ago, it really did represent the intellectual elites. But since then, anybody who is insecure and not certain of their real level of knowledge or IQ or awareness, who wants to feel better about themselves, says, I'm a liberal, therefore I am part of the intellectual elite. And liberalism has gone from being a philosophy into all the trappings of a religious cult, which we have seen signs, symptoms of that from the way that Hillary Clinton was running her campaign. And certainly to judge from one of our friends who's a professed liberal and comes across with the idea that if she doesn't know something, it's not important to know. Many liberals have actually become arrogant in their ignorance, and I'm not surprised to see them emulating many of the behaviors of the Nazis, such as the digital equivalent of book burning that we are now seeing against anybody who questions the liberal dogma.
Yeah, it's really gotten to a point. And as I've said, I think, a number of times, many in the liberal establishment contemptually call portions of this country that are smarting from offsourcing and outshoring of jobs a flyover country. But I want to assure our audience and other people who may be listening for the first time, the people who live there are not flyover people. They want an opportunity to work, to earn, to have the dignity of work, which got taken away with the massive moving of jobs to the lowest point of capital labor.
That was encouraged by tax policies put in place during the Bush administration.
Right.
And, of course, the flyover people or the deplorables finally stood up en masse and demanded and got change, which is why the liberal establishment is now whining and crying, staging riots and threatening electors. And the liberals have picked up a lot of bad habits from their close association with Israel. Anytime they don't get what they want, anytime the election goes against them, they throw tantrums and they roll around on the ground and they kick and they scream and they squeeze their Play-Doh and go into their safe spaces with their puppies and everything. And again, going back to Michael Moore and his five-point plan to stop Donald Trump, I think the liberals need to understand they are destroying their own public image. You know, again, going back 20, 30 years ago, liberals, because they really were elite, were in fact looked up to and did enjoy a position of tremendous influence over our society. But the public image of liberals today is of a bunch of whining crybabies who are arrogant in their ignorance. And the more they persist in this kind of behavior, you know, trying to ban free speech, trying to silence independent media, the more damage they do to themselves. And they're making themselves irrelevant right alongside the corporate media.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I think our liberal community needs to do, and it's not going to be pleasant and it's not going to be pretty. But as the large donors have demanded that there be a postmortem on their failure to have Hillary Clinton elected in the 2016 elections. And until and unless they do this and learn from their mistakes, they're going to keep losing, Mike. They're going to continue to keep losing.
They very much are. The liberals are going to be years recovering from this debacle. And getting back to Anthony Bourdain's very cogent observation, all you need to do is look at Hillary's fundraising during her campaign to see that liberals now view anybody that isn't a millionaire as simply not worth bothering with. Because Hillary did the vast majority of her fundraising going right to the very richest people, Wall Street CEOs, Sheldon Adelson, George Soros. And any fundraising she did at the grassroots levels was more to sell the idea that she was a candidate of the people and really amounted to a very, very tiny fraction of her total campaign war chest. Hillary Clinton spent more for her campaign than any other president in U.S. history. Following the old wisdom that whoever's got the most money is going to win the election. And that was a myth that went down to destruction in 2016.
Absolutely. I would like to go over the most recent kerfluffle with Israel because of the sanctions vote at the UN and Kerry's response to that. And the title of the article, which comes from antiwar.com, very sober online blog. And it's called "Some of Us Can Now Recall How Eisenhower Ordered David Ben-Gurion to Get His Army Out of Sinai in 57 or Face Sanctions." Ben-Gurion did as he was told. Had he and his ambassador castigated the then Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, as the Israelis dissed John Kerry, Ike would have called the U.S. ambassador home. Indeed, Ike's threat of sanctions against Prime Minister Anthony Eden's government, which had also invaded Egypt, brought Eden down. But then Dwight Eisenhower was not Barack Obama, and the America of 1956 was a more self-respecting nation. Still, this week of rancorous exchanges between the two nations that endlessly express their love for each other certainly clears the air. And while Kerry has been denounced for abstaining on the UN resolution calling Israeli settlements on the West Bank and East Jerusalem illegal and an impediment to peace, this has been U.S. policy for years. And Kerry's warning in his Wednesday speech that at the end of this road of continuous settlement building lies an Israel that is either a non-Jewish Israel or non-democratic state. Now, Mike, I don't think that's anti-Semitic. And even Prime Minister Ehud Barak, the most decorated soldier in Israel's history, has warned his countrymen, as long as the territory west of the Jordan River, there is only one political entity called Israel, it's ultimately going to be either non-Jewish or non-democratic. If the bloc of millions of Palestinians cannot vote, added Barak, this will be an apartheid state. Well, Bishop Desmond Tutu, who is Anglican from South Africa, and a gentleman who I think knows apartheid when he sees it, has gone on record to say, Israel's an apartheid state. They're already there. And Barak said, defending Kerry, powerful, lucid, the world and majority in Israel think the same. And, you know, I do not see that what Kerry said was anti-Semitic. What I see going on with the war, if you will, between Israel and Palestine is a full-blown physical war coming up, unless that gets resolved. And
I would agree. And, of course, Israel's got all these weapons given to it by the United States.
Yep.
The Palestinians have rocks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very one-sided war. But again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we have to avoid of falling into the trap that Israel's government has laid out of trying to lure us all into framing the discussion about what's going on in terms of Jewishness versus other people's religion, because it really does not.
No.
It's got nothing to do with it. The world's opposition to Israel, and remember, when they passed that resolution at the Security Council and the U.S. didn't veto, the entire room erupted in applause.
Right.
That was not shown on TV news in the United States, by the way. And because it's got nothing to do with the fact that the people of Israel are Jewish. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're descended from Khazars or whoever they're descended from. Okay? We are talking about actions of a government, the behavior of a powerful few. And Israel has always tried to deflect criticism for its atrocities against the Palestinians, the Egyptians, the Syrians, and so forth by screaming, oh, you're just being an anti-Semite. That's their response to any criticism. USS Liberty, oh, you're being an anti-Semite. The Levant Affair, oh, you're being an anti-Semite. The secret bomb factory under Dimona, oh, you're being an anti-Semite. Blowing up Iraq's civilian power station, oh, you're being an anti-Semite. And they've used it so much, it's kind of burned out. Nobody reacts in shock and horror when somebody gets called an anti-Semite anymore. They've overplayed that card. And as I pointed out before, it really didn't make any sense anyway. It would be like somebody criticizing Adolf Hitler and being answered with, you just hate the German people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Nazis aren't doing anything bad. You're just being anti-German, and you should stop that right now. That's how ridiculous this all is.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that so many people around the world are speaking out about the actions and behavior of Israel's government is that the world has finally realized that, as that former member of the Knesset admitted on Amy Goodman's show, screaming anti-Semite is just a trick they use to silence opposition to what Israel wants to do. And I think it's past its sell-by date, and they've used it up. And Israel is going to have to move into the 21st century and conduct international relations as a modern civilized nation, and not try and run themselves like a Bronze Age tribal chieftain.
Mm-hmm. A potentate.
Yes.
Yes. Which I think is the way Netanyahu sees himself.
Oh, no question about it.
I'd like to bop over to the American economy. And has to do with these minimum wage hikes that have been voted in. And the article from Zero Hedge mentions a list of the states where a lot of fast food workers are going to be fired in 2017. And apparently minimum wages will increase in 20 states at the start of 2017. And what's going to happen is that these increased wages are going to cause investment into automated infrastructure, and these people are going to wind up losing their jobs.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now what mm-hmm. I'm planning on doing is I'm not going to go into any establishment where a robot is cooking my food.
Okay.
Simply because it is displacing people.
Yeah.
And if you fire people, it's still bad for the economy, because unless people are able to trade their labor for decent wages and salaries, they can't put that money back into the economy.
Right.
Robots don't get paid. Robots don't go to the shopping malls and buy things.
Mm-hmm.
Automating these things may be good for the bottom line for the fast food restaurant, but it's very bad for the economy as a whole. Just the other day, I was over at Home Depot, where mm-hmm. they have these self-service checkout robotic things that you can use. I won't use them. And apparently realizing the shortcomings, Home Depot, to their credit, they now actually have a worker at the self-service checkout to help guide you through. So there's still somebody who's earning a paycheck. And I told this girl here, you know, I'm glad you're here, because if you weren't here, there's no way I would use this, because it is taking a job away from somebody who needs it. For an economy to work, the money has to be circulating around. And automation is just another way of taking wealth out of the system and pouring it up on those people at the very, very top. And there aren't enough money junkies to sustain our current consumer economy, especially because most of them are cheapskates. Look at the way Warren Buffett lives.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Another article, I believe, again, from Zero Hedge. Obama is using his final weeks to aggressively attempt to box in Trump's administration. Not liking the outcome of the 2016 election, President Obama has apparently made the decision to use his final days in office to do everything possible to box in and undermine President-elect Trump.
Like I said, the election didn't go the way he wanted. He's going to roll around on the ground, kick and scream and cry and throw a tantrum. And that's exactly what Obama is doing. And Putin, by not reciprocating on this mm-hmm. Issue with the diplomats, has shown the world that Obama is a petulant child.
Yeah. And Putin made the statement, and I thought this was just marvelous. We refuse to sink to Obama's level. I thought that was just priceless.
Well, I mean, to sink to Obama's level, you're going to have to dig a really deep
trench.
Hole.
Yeah.
You know, about 4,000 miles deep, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's very apparent that Obama has tremendous contempt for the will of the American people being displayed by the current administration. And that's just what it is. It's contempt.
And well, it's not just Obama. Mm-hmm. It's been the last several administrations. It's the corporate media. It is the establishment as a whole.
Yeah.
They have gone to power through fraud, election rigging, and so forth. They don't think the American people should have any say in what's going on. Remember when Bernie Sanders was being cheated of the nomination by the Democratic National Committee, mm-hmm. and their attitude was, you know, you guys are too stupid to pick a candidate. We'll pick it for you. And
yes.
we are convinced Hillary Clinton is our best chance at victory. Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's these last couple of weeks, I am praying that we get through them without any major incident. And I think you are right, Michael, to be concerned about this weekend.
Yeah.
And a potential false flag.
I think so. And I want to step back to this situation
sure.
here, where
mm-hmm.
we have all these elites in both parties and in the media and in finance thinking, well, the American people are stupid. We know what's best. Doesn't matter. The rules of this country are we, the people, collectively, mm-hmm. are the supreme authority over this nation.
Yes.
And maybe we're not as smart and educated as you are. It doesn't matter. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to make this sum of money or have this kind of a degree to participate mm-hmm. in the choosing of our leaders. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our last show of 2016.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
When all this twisted steel was swept away,
your screeners say what?
Did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And hello, Aloha America. Welcome back. Oh, we just lost. We were going to take one final phone call, and apparently we just now lost him.
Oh,
so that will be it for the phone calls here. We only have a few minutes left in today's show, our last show of the year 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all agree 2016 was a year of dramatic upheaval for the establishment. And we're seeing the beginning of the self-immolation of the corporate media. And I don't know about you, I'm feeling very positive about 2017. I'm feeling like we've got this opportunity. If we all work very, very hard, that we can turn the nation around, pull it back from the abyss of a possible collapse or civil war, and start that long, slow walk back to being a constitutional republic with a democratically elected leadership chosen by we the people. And I'd like to see that happen. I still hold out. It's possible we could have a Soviet Union style collapse to go through, and we should be prepared for that. But I'm feeling very positive about 2017. I think it's going to be a year of opportunities for the independent media. For us to continue to grow our audience, continue to basically get an accurate report of what's going on in the world out to our audience, which, of course, is why so many people are trying to shut us down, because they want everyone to go back to living in this manufactured dream world, just like the Matrix, where you believe what you see on those TV screens is the real world.
And then where they don't cover huge embarrassments for the U.S., like the use of American weapons in Yemen by the Saudis.
And apparently the U.S. just bombed another hospital in Iraq, and you probably won't see that on the corporate news either. So we're coming up here to the end of the show here, and Claire and I want to wish you all a very happy and safe New Year's. We know there's sort of a tradition of having a little too much to drink and then getting behind the wheel, so we strongly recommend having a designated driver.
Thank you.
Or a designated drunk. Or taking a cab,
yeah,
and being safe. And if you are fortunate enough to live in one of the states that still allows you to have real fireworks,
mm-hmm.
You know, use safely, have a fire extinguisher, don't take dumb chances, because you want to have a lot of fun. Claire and I are going to be staying at home. We're not going to go out on the roads here. And judging by the noise we've been hearing for the last several nights from all the illegal fireworks,
yes,
we're going to have a heck of a show off of our back patio tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, I would say so.
Maybe less Claire. Claire doesn't love fireworks the way that I do.
Well, loud sounds that I generally cannot immediately identify because of the last 22 years.
Well, that's been a problem for me. And it was kind of amazing over at Claire's church during the rehearsal for the Christmas Eve show. Somebody in the neighborhood was setting off these really noisy things, and we kept flinching, and everyone kept laughing at us.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with you guys? So, well,
it's a long story.
It's a long story. they don't know the darker aspects of our past history.
No, they don't.
They're too busy reading the sheet music and trying to hit pitch. Anything else here before we hit the end?
Just to wish everyone a healthy, happy, and I would like to hope more of a feeling of safety in 2017 than we've had for, these last 8 years.
And a prosperous new year. In fact, I'm going to go back to my Trekkie days and say, live long and prosper in 2017.
You do that so well, Dave.
Thank you. Well, I used to be a magician. All right. Anyway, we'll be back live on Tuesday, taking Monday off. So have a good weekend, and aloha, America.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.